Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are listening to The Curator Podcast, Season 2, Episode 24. An interview with Brendan Murphy from Counterparts. And before we dive into this one, I just want to notify you that about halfway through the interview, one of the support bands began to sound check, so you'll definitely be able to hear that in the background. Brendan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Is it Brendan or Brandon?
Brendan. It's whatever. It's whatever anybody wants to call me, honestly. But
I'm good, man. It's nice to finally meet you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'm a fairly new Counterparts fan.
That's what I like to hear, you know? It's always it's always really cool that even though we've been a band for so long, there's still people that come up and they're like, I had never heard of you guys. I just watched the show. It was so sick. Like, you got a new fan. And it's like, all right, awesome. You know, it's like, you know, for every like couple kids that don't care about metalcore anymore and they just like bounce and do their own thing. Like, you know, we got a couple more coming in and, you know, that actually give a shit, which is nice.
My flatmate was raving about you guys, and I delayed checking them out.
Understandable.
And then your new album came out, and I was listening to it. I was like, man, I'm getting like early Killswitch vibes.
Yeah, 100%.
Totally fucking dig, man. It took me back to being young again.
Yeah, dude, 100%. That's sort of like that early, like early mid-2000s metalcore era is like, that's, we've just been trying to do that since we've been a band, you know, because like, you know, we started around like 2007, and that was sort of the stuff that we just got into the scene, you know what I mean? And we got really into bands like Misery Signals and Poison the Well and Killswitch and, like, you know, Parkway Drive, like that kind of stuff. And I think by the time those bands were kind of like winding down a little bit, or at least like, you know, like they weren't, I mean, like obviously Killswitch and Parkway and like, they all still do well when they do play shows, but, it was like sort of towards the, like that genre was sort of taking a dip when we got in. And I think it just stuck with us. And we were like, this is actually sick. Like, why is this? Why aren't more people doing this? Like, this sound is awesome. So when we obviously we went through some like style changes and genre changes, but that was sort of like the one thing that we wanted to keep like in common. You know, like that was the one thing we all had in common, was just that like early metalcore sound. So that's why we ran with it, and we've been doing it since then. So
it seems to be coming back now as well. There's lots of cool bands that are doing it again.
It is. Yeah. It's crazy. It's a bittersweet thing. Like, it's just funny because, you know, there's a lot of bands that come out now and they've got like, you know, like the fucking like alarm clock riffs and like that, dun, 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 like that shit. Yeah. You know, it's cool. Like I said, it's like a bittersweet thing because, you know, when like we thought that stuff was cool and, you know, like a lot of our friends were doing that. And then it went through this period of like, that's lame. Like that stuff's lame and dated and old. And now, you know, now there's a lot of like newer bands that are bringing back that like, you know, late 90s, early 2000s like sound. And so for all of us, we're like, oh shit, this is sick. You know what I mean? Like this is awesome. Like this, you know, like when we played with like usually when we're in the UK, we play shit like one show with Renounce. Somehow we try and figure it out. But, you know, the first time I heard Renounce, I was like, this just sounds like Poison the Well. Like this record, it sounds like it came out in 1999. You know what I mean? And, it's sick. Like, you know, that's obviously our favorite like style of heavy music and everything, but it is just a little, it's a little like, you know, it's just a bit of a bummer for us to be like, okay, well, yeah, it took you guys long enough, but you know, now finally people are able to like that, you know, like that style of music. And also like, you know, like they're like Renounce, like they're a hardcore band, right? And they'll do hardcore tours and stuff. And even though they sound like a lot of those older like metalcore bands, like a lot of people are just like, they're just down with it. And like, it's awesome. But for me, I'm kind of just like, fuck, if only the scene was like, if that stuff was still cool when we started doing our thing in like 2007, 2008, it was like, it would have been, you know, I may be rich right now, but I'm not. So that's where the jealousy comes from. But
I mean, you're still doing it full time, you know, which is a pretty fucking cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
When did you realize that was going to be a thing that you were doing?
I don't know. Like, because we never planned to make money off of it and make it like a full-time job. It was always just kind of like when we did Profits, we were in the studio recording that, right? Like we were doing the record and, Eric and I are our old bass player. We literally had to stop recording so we can go back home and graduate high school. You know what I mean? Like we had to go home and put our gowns on and get our diploma and do photos. And then like, we just went right back. And I remember my parents talking to me and they're saying like, okay, well, you know, you're at high school. Like, what are you going to do now? And I'm like, well, I'm going to see how far I can make this band thing go. And that's my focus. And like, since then I've been doing it. So, you know, obviously we knew back then it wasn't going to be like an overnight thing. It would take a couple years, but I think it first started being like, oh wow, like we don't really need to have jobs. Like we can sort of do this thing, you know, to live. I think that kind of happened around like 2013 when we did Hell and Home, because, you know, the response was crazy and, we were getting like good tour offers and we started working with like a good manager and a good booking agent and everything just sort of started taking off. And I think that's when it first clicked, like, oh shit, we could act if we're smart, you know, if we, for the most part, all like back then all of us lived with our parents and stuff. And it was like, you know, if we keep this up, we can actually, you know, only have Counterparts as a job. Like we don't need to work somewhere part-time or nothing. So yeah, but like Counterparts has been my only job since I think like 2012. The last job I had, like I worked at a Hot Topic in Burlington, Ontario, and then now I quit that job, and since then it's just been Counterparts. So
in 10 years, in the course of the whole 10 years we've been a band, it must be really vindicating to kind of go, you know what, I can go out on the road and just be the band guy and not have to worry about going to work a shy job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is really cool. I mean, I think it all kind of depends on what what being able to live means to different people. Like, you know, like if you've got like expensive taste and you know, or you got a gambling problem or something, you know, and you blow a lot of money, like this probably isn't the best way to make a buck. But I think as long as you're smart about it and as long as, you know, you make good, like the band makes good business decisions and you have somebody who like managing you or whatever, you're on a label that's actually looking out for your best interest. I do think it's fairly easy to, you know, you gotta go through shit. Like it's gonna be terrible for a couple years. Like our first couple tours, I remember coming home with like cents in the money box, like literal cents, and being like, oh, we still have like 10 hours to drive, and I guess I'm paying for gas. You know what I mean? Like, and you pay out of pocket, and you know, you do so many tours where you don't make money or you make very, very little. But I think where a lot of bands kind of give up and they're like, fuck it, it's not worth it. Like the money's not good enough. It's not, I can't live off of this. And they go off and do their own thing. The bands that stick through it and actually deal with that, those are the bands that in a couple years from now, they get to say like, yeah, this is my only job. I'm comfortable. You know, but again, yeah, it all kind of depends on what comfortable is to that person. So luckily, I mean, I don't spend too much of my money on stupid stuff. Like I usually spend a lot of my money on food, and that's really it. I mean, like magic cards, I guess, like that's the one thing. That's like the one thing that like, I know it's dumb, but whatever, it's fun. So I'm going to, you know, gambling too. I gamble here and there, but yeah, you know, like I think as long as you're smart about it, you can actually make playing music a full-time job. It is just way more difficult now than it was, let's say, you know, 10, 20 years ago. So.
Just to circle back a little bit, you're talking about how like you guys really always wanted to be like a metalcore band.
Yeah.
Would you say the new album is like the? I mean, you're the only original member left.
Yeah. So exactly.
Is this kind of what you've always kind of been? This new record kind of always what you've kind of been going towards.
I don't know if it was always, if you know, it's not like we deep down like I had always wanted to put out a record like You're Not You. I think there's definitely elements that I've that. In the last, you know, with the last couple of records before it, that we all, you know, we were all kind of like, we, you know, there's things that we should incorporate. You know what I mean? We should incorporate choruses and we should incorporate like, you know, we should try and make the record have a high replay value and we should try and make the record catchy and stuff like that. But with the, you know, some of the other records, I think that wasn't necessarily our complete focus, but. You know, you see it over time. Like even when I look at the big songs from Hell and Home, like Witness is one of them, Compass, like, you know, a lot of those like Outlier and the songs, those are the songs that have the repeating parts, you know, and they have like hooks and they're catchy. And you know, even with Tragedy, stuff like you know, like the bigger songs on that, like they're catchy and it's the actual repetition that resonates with people more so than I think just writing a song that's all parts. And while you know, while like there was a while when I think like technicality and you know, like we tried we did courses and repetition and like that stuff was like, nah, it's too easy. Like let's think outside the box and be a little weirder here. But I don't think it hurt the band, but I think that now we're definitely just based on us, you know what I mean? Like the music that we listen to now, like for me, for example, I listen to a lot of like pop stuff and, you know, like 1975 is my favorite band and stuff like that, you know? And it's just like, what do they have? Like catchy choruses and hooks and stuff. And, you know, I figured that if we could find a way to incorporate that into our material, I think that's what's going to help us get through to this next level. Cause I'm sure there's a lot of kids that have seen our band before. And when there's nothing that they can like bang their head to, you know, or when parts are changing so rapidly and, you know, and it gets a little crazy, I think that there's a lot of kids that are going to be totally on board. They're going to hear that and be like, this band's fucking sick. They're tight. They're techie. Like, this is great. But the majority of people, I think, are going to be like, this is weird. You know, like, I don't get what the hell is going on with this. So we tried to focus more on the actual, you know, the actual songwriting aspect of like making songs. And then, you know, afterwards, then we do our like little added flavor and you know, we work in some weird time signature stuff. And that's when we try and get techie once the actual song has like a skeleton, if that makes sense. So
does it surprise you that after, you know, this is now like your fifth record?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Does it surprise you that it's still a learning process, that you kind of never really get into the groove of what a Counterpart sound kind of is until now? That's surprising.
I think it is. I think that a lot of it just had to do with the fact that you know, when you're younger, like I said, like we were recording Prophets when I was like 17 or 18 years old. So, you know, when you're young, I don't think you totally have a grasp on, you know, the proper way to sort of mix your influences and sort of find a way to make it your own. And I think that before Prophets and even before the EP that we had before it, we struggled a lot and we went through some genre changes just because we were just trying to figure out what works, you know what I mean? And now when I look back on Prophets and Current Will Carry Us, like I think those two records are a perfect example of, we haven't figured it out yet, but we're trying. And then I think from Hell and Home onward, you know, probably just based on the fact that we're, you know, we started working with Will Putney as a producer and like there was way more thought and way more like pre-production and everything put into the records, that I think that from Hell and Home onward, that's when we hit this consistent, like, this is the band that we're, like, this is how we're supposed to sound. This is Counterparts. You know what I mean? Like, when, like there's stuff when I hear, like there's certain things I hear off Prophets and off Current where I'm just like, why the hell did we do that? Like, it's so weird. Like, we would never do that now. But, you know, like I said, like being in a band, like anything is a learning process as time goes on. And as the members get mature and, you know, like our fan base grows with us, you know, like the other day pretty much when the record came out, like Spotify has a cool thing. It's like Spotify for artists. And I was looking at, and you know, it'll tell you like what songs are the most popular, where you're like, you know, where you get the most streams like in the world, but it also tells you the age group. And the cool thing about that is, like, you know, for a while, it like, you know, our age group was, I would say probably like 16 to 20 maybe. But then when I look at it now from You're Not You Anymore and I look at the age group, it's like the highest percentage is 23 to 27. So that means that, you know what I mean? Like our fan base is literally growing up with us. Like I'm 26. So, you know, when that, you know, that's sort of like the cool part about it is like, we're all kind of growing together. And I think if we want to do something or we want to try something, we have a better shot at, you know, we're more confident going forward because we know that, you know, our fan base is sort of growing with us, if that makes sense.
You can take them with you no matter what you do, because you're exactly, always yeah. going to be on your side.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, yeah. Yeah, and, like, I think that's why people feel a strong connection to the band, because they did sort of grow up with it, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people that were into Counterparts when they were 18, and I was also 18. So, you know, as we grow up together and, you know, our influences and our you know, the music that we like changes and we go through changes ourselves, I think that's why people can relate to the music and the lyrics separately and why we do really matter to a lot of people. And I think that's the coolest part, you know, like if we were putting out music and it was just like, nobody over the age of 25 gives a shit. It's going to be hard to, you know, if when I turn 30 and I'm like, well, fuck, what do young kids want to hear? Like, I don't know. I'm not a young kid. Like, I know what I want to hear. So we don't really have to worry about
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
About that, which is nice.
It's that kind of information and power, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I mean, it's cool that, I mean, obviously, like, you know, that's a big reason why we are still doing it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I always make the joke, like, if I wanted to be rich, I wouldn't play metalcore. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be in a metalcore band if I actually wanted to make money. I would do anything else. But, you know, I would, I'm way more interested in sort of like, maintaining our fan base and maintaining Counterpart's sound. And while I'm not rich and I'm not making a crazy amount of money, I'm very content with the amount that I am making. And, you know, the cool part about it is the fact that, like I said, there's people that, you know, I don't think there's a lot of people that are in the middle of like, yeah, Counterparts is like cool. It's either, I don't know, like, who the fuck is that? Or like, I don't like this band, or I absolutely love the band. And like, you know, we're meeting people on tours that have like full sleeves of Counterpart stuff, and I'm just like, fuck, like I hope that one day you don't hate our band. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only, I hope that you don't grow out of metalcore and go like, fuck that, I hate that shit, so embarrassing, I got this shitty band tattoos all over my arm. But, you know, it is kind of cool. It's nice knowing that, you know, while I'm not going to be rich playing this kind of music, we'll be wealthy in another way of like, you know, having a real strong connection with the people that do care. And that's always nice.
I've known about the Spotify for Artists thing for a while.
Yeah.
But you're the first person I've spoken to that's actually ever brought it up.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
It makes me wonder then, does that actually help you plan where you're going to tour as well?
Like, it hasn't before, but definitely, you know, like, for bands out there, like, you can absolutely log in and, you know, when you put out a new record or even in general, you can look at the last 28 days and sort of see where most of your streams are coming from. And so we did that, and it's like, you know, the highest percentage of streams are coming from the United States, and then it's like the UK is right underneath it. Then you've got Australia, Germany, Canada, you know, a lot of these places, and it's kind of just like, you know, that alone is cool. So if, you know, if you start noticing that, let's say your streams in the UK and Europe start spiking, you can kind of be like, okay, well, maybe we should go back, and you know you can kind of use it to your advantage and all. But also, there's like countries, and then there's also a cities one. So for example, it would say like Los Angeles, we have the most streams, and then number two is London. So you know what I mean. So you kind of know when you're booking a tour, like we have to play these cities because they're always going to be sick. And you can use that to your advantage and be like, hey, do we want to go play a show in you know, Billings, Montana or Wyoming or something, and you can go look at your stream and be like, oh, there's three people in the whole city that know who we are. Maybe we'll skip it. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's obviously not completely representative of people that listen to it, but you still know it's not going to be a lot anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, you know, obviously I can't tell you how many exactly, but you know, like I said, when I look at the cities and it's like number two is Los Angeles is number one. London is number two. It's like, if somebody were to ask me where, like, you know, you have two shows left, where are you going to do them? I would say Chain Reaction in Anaheim, basically Los Angeles. And I would do one at like Underworld or somewhere in London. You know what I mean? Like just be like based on that alone. And then you go and you see the actual streams and it kind of just confirms, you know, it just confirms it, which is nice.
That's pretty amazing, man.
Yeah, it's cool. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, someone was talking, I think like Trey, our merch guy, he was looking it up for his band. And he was like looking at Spotify artists. He's like, have you ever used this before? And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I'm looking at his, and I just immediately hit up our managers and I was like, how the hell do I get on this Spotify artist thing? Like, it's sick. The only thing I wish is it'd be really nice if, like, you know, if you're in a band and your music is on Spotify and you hit like a certain amount of streams, it'd be sick if they're like, all right, everybody in the band gets a free premium membership. That's the one thing that's like, I wish that was the case, but I mean, whatever. I'm on a family plan with my parents and my little brother for Spotify anyway, so it's all good.
So before,
I'm paying $3 a month. Who cares?
Before I wrap this up, I just wanted to ask you, are you happy with the way the tour's going and the action the new record's been getting?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Like, you know, the record's been out for, it's been out for like a, you know, I think, what, 2 months now or something? So the reaction to the new songs here, they've been like fucking nuts. Like, we did a Canadian tour when the record came out. And obviously, like, you know, you're on the tour the record came out, so it doesn't really have time to, like, sit with kids and marinate. But we took a month off after that, and then now we're here. And I'm pretty sure that the new songs are getting the best reaction, aside from, like, The Disconnect, obviously, and, you know, songs like Witness. But when we play No Servant live, like, kids go insane. When we do Haunt Me, like, everybody's singing along. Like, you know, it's actually crazy. Like, you know, the reaction's been – it's been awesome, which is new to us because normally we put out a record, and it normally takes a little bit – you know, it takes like 6 months to a year for kids to really start to be like, okay, this record's fucking awesome. Normally it's like, eh, like Tragedy's cool, but it's not Hell and Home. And then a year later, they're like, never mind. Tragedy's the best. Yeah. And so, you know, but with this one, it was kind of instant. Like as soon as we put it out, it was just like, this is the best Counterparts record for sure. 100%. And we're like, well, yeah, I know. Like we wrote it. We know. So
it's definitely the most to the point. Like it feels like it's been like precision engineered.
Yeah. Yeah. And like that's 100%, like, that was our goal when we were in the studio, was just, you know, we didn't want any filler. Like, we didn't want to make songs any longer than they have to be, you know. Like, we just wanted, like, because when we got the record and we were like, fuck, the, you know, there's 11 songs, one's an intro, but so there's 10 full songs, but the record's like 28 minutes long and it's really short, but at the same time it's like, yeah, the record's short, but just hit play again, just listen to it again, you know what I mean? And a lot of people have been saying that they do that. You know, they put the record on repeat and they just listen to it through a couple times, which is like, that's awesome. You know, like, that's, I think we like actually, we did it. Like, we wrote a banger and the record's great. So I'm really happy with the reaction for sure. Especially because, you know, losing members and stuff like that, I think there was a lot of people that were just like, yeah, Counterparts is done. So it's nice to, you know, put out a new record and be like, well, like, the reaction's going crazy. The record charted higher on Billboard than any other record. Like, it's going really well. If you thought that we were over, like, fuck off, basically. You know what I mean? It's kind of nice just to be a little smug about it and be like, all right, you thought we were breaking up. Well, not only did we not break up, we put out our biggest record yet. So it's nice, you know?
Oh, Brendan, thank you very much for talking to me. Before, I'm going to have to cut it off before my listeners kill me for the sound checking.
Like,
is there anything else you want to add or anything you want to say before we finish?
I got nothing. You know, if you're in the UK or Europe, coming out to, like, you know, come to a show and hang out, come show with us. We'd love to have you. And hopefully we play well. And if we don't, sorry. That's all.
Thank you very much, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Like I said in the interview, my flatmate was the one that got me on to Counterparts, and after doing my research for this interview, it was really fascinating to see how much they'd grown over the years, not just as musicians, but also in popularity as a band. It seems to have been quite a steady rise over the past decade, which is probably down to touring a lot. I mean, I know it gets said quite a lot in this podcast, but if you keep at it, you definitely start to get places, especially if you're a band with real ambition. And Counterparts certainly strike me as being a band like that. Brendan's a really nice, down-to-earth guy. I was really, really happy that I got to chat to him. He was very accommodating. Little fact, the same night Counterparts were playing, and same Clown Posse were playing in the venue upstairs as well, I did see quite a few juggalos before the show. And when I was talking to their tour manager, as he was taking me around to talk to Brendan, we just kept saying, where do all these guys come from? I've never seen juggalos in real life before. And it's really weird to think that they exist in this city, especially when you consider the fact that ICP haven't played in Glasgow for 15 years. Anyway, that's besides the point. The new Counterparts album, You're Not You Anymore, is phenomenal. I highly recommend checking it out. If you like the old school metalcore sound, and it feels really weird to say old school because it came out when I was 16, but if you really dig that early 2000s metalcore thing, the Killswitch Engage, Unearth, you know, all that kind of stuff, then you should definitely check this record out. I was very surprised by it. I was also very surprised by its length. I remember a lot of these early metalcore records being really quite long, you know, 40, 50 minutes. But this one's less than half an hour, and it's very much a case of all the fat has been trimmed off it, and it's just pure solid tune after tune after tune. I thoroughly recommend checking it out if you like metalcore. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If this is your first time listening, please take a wee second to subscribe. You can do that by hitting the subscribe button in whatever podcasting app that you're currently using. You can follow me on Twitter at TheCreatorPod, and I would be happy to chat to you there. So come on over, say hi. That would be great. And of course, I got to do the thing that every other podcast does, and I think that I've done in every single episode ever, and that is, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please drop me a wee rating and review. I would really, really appreciate that. Until next time, bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.